Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly, where two men meet electronically to ask each other whether Ronald Koeman has yet been sacked. Yes, we're recording Sunday night, so Monday podcast listeners, do your own update if he's gone. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, in the competitive world of modern football, it's not a good idea to appoint a guy just because he used to play for the club. Now, you can apply that to whichever club you fancy. We've heard a lot about Barcelona's financial problems, and it is true the club having debts of 1.5 billion means that the players weren't able to chase David Alaba as he ran up the pitch to score a goal. Memphis Depay was like a trade unionist from the 70s. Not my job, mate. You know, you'll have to get a defender in if you want that fixing. Yes, Los Blancos won their fourth straight Clásico. Although, technically speaking, we should start with the big game of the weekend, the champions against the leaders, of course. What a game at the Metropolitano, where sticking a couple of big Scandinavian blokes up front very nearly paid off for Real Sociedad, if it wasn't for you-know-who. In fact, it was a fabulous weekend in La Liga, showing off because Gary Lineker's here. 35 goals from 9 games. Save some up, boys, for the other weeks. He doesn't buy the rights personally, you know. Although he does have more money than 11 sports. Sevilla's social media team tweeted, regular day at Sevilla. Have you not been watching for the last couple of years, fellas? Yeah. Anyway, there's much to discuss. It was lots of fun this weekend. We had better get on with it. Thanks to the Patreons. A couple of questions from Patreons here or there, Terry, that we'll get to as well. But we better get on to your verdict of the Clásico. So, I mean, somewhat predictably, I guess, Real Madrid won the Clásico. I think you said a draw, and I said, actually, I just remembered, I said Real Madrid might edge it, and and they, yes, it wasn't that brave a call, was it? And they did. So what did you make of it? What's your overall verdict?
Well, I thought it was a good game, actually, and I think one or two of the recent Clásicos haven't been that way, but I thought this was good. I thought both teams played well in their own way. Real Madrid clearly were a better team in terms of athleticism, particularly on the break and the counter-attack, with the speed of Rodrigo and the speed in particular of Vinicius always caused Barcelona problems. But I thought Barcelona played their part in the game. I thought they played well. I thought it was thin margins between the two teams. And I have to be honest, I mean, it's hard to say that Real Madrid deserved it, because I thought it was a really tight game. And I'll explain that in a couple of instances and how the game could have turned out different. But I would be encouraged if I was Barcelona supporter, rather than being dejected and disappointed. And, you know, there's one or two things in the game that they, you know, will be disappointed about, how they achieved. You mentioned about the defending, the running, the chasing, you know, the way Alaba stole the ball off of Memphis Depay. And you have to give credit to Alaba then for the surging run forward and a stunning finish, an absolutely brilliant goal. But just a minute before that, Dest had the sitter. Now, the first goal in the game that big is always of huge importance. So that's the thin margin I was talking about there. At the end of the game, Pique was claiming the penalty, which wasn't. But it was a near miss for Barcelona. And within seconds, Asensio breaks. They have the shot. And Lucas Vasquez is quicker. Anticipates what's going to happen a lot faster than Eric Garcia, who was 5 yards ahead of Lucas Vasquez, who made a run from his own penalty box to join up with the attack. And when Ter Stegen makes the save from Asensio, Eric Garcia is still ahead of him, but doesn't react quick enough. Lucas Vasquez shows the greater determination. You think that takes the game and wraps it up, which, of course, you know, you expect that. In 92nd minute, Lucas Vasquez scored. And then Aguero gets one back. So it just goes to show how important that failure to anticipate and that failure to challenge and that lack of determination from Eric Garcia, how important that was for Barcelona. So when you look at those incidents, that's what I'm talking about when the game, I thought, was delicately poised. Barcelona had more possession in the attacking half of the pitch. I think the possession was rather even, but you look at the attacking half of the pitch where it's more important, the possession, Barcelona had more of that. And Real Madrid, with their style, had the threat of the two wingers in particular. Ancelotti made them solid, and they looked better defensively because there was a more recognisable back four. Lucas Vasquez playing right back. Danny Carvajal came on, so that's great news for Real Madrid. Then we'll begin to see that back four of Carvajal, Militao, Alaba and Mondi. But if you look at the performance of the fullbacks of Real Madrid, they weren't asked to push forward. So they stayed really solid as a back four. Casemiro stayed in front of them. Modric and Kroos play slightly different to how Barcelona play their three-man midfield. Busquets plays deep, of course, like Casemiro. But I thought with Gavi and De Jong, they played too wide. So it left a lot of space in the centre of the pitch. They almost played as I can remember countless times, Frankie De Jong breaking down the left out wide. Gavi was trying to do the same on the right, which left Busquets isolated on his own, where Modric and Kroos could take advantage of. So there were little tactical nuances that probably suited Real Madrid. But it's an excellent result for Real Madrid. They looked solid until conceding the last gasp goal. So I would imagine all round, you know, Ancelotti would be delighted with the result, of course. That's a given. But delighted with the performance and how much more solid his team looked against a team who is still pretty good, I think. And I think the reason I say Barcelona supporters, they're having a desperate situation. I mean, everything's going against them. They've lost important players in the last couple of seasons. Obviously, Messi is the big one this summer. They've been, you know, inundated with injured players, important players being injured, but they're coming back. Aguero came out and scored. Pedri's missing still, Araujo to come back, Dembele to come back. And yet I thought they run Real Madrid really close. So I think I would be encouraged. My only disappointment with the Barcelona supporters today, and I kind of understand it, was the booing whistling of Luke de Jong. It's going to be impossible for him to play in those circumstances. I felt for him. He wanted to do his best, of course. His first three or four touches were awful, which made it even worse. And he didn't help himself. I thought he should have stayed. When he came on, just be the big bloke up front and stay in the penalty box. Don't drop deep. Don't try and get involved in the build-up play. And that's what he did. He wanted to be enthusiastic, but he really should have just got himself in the box and waited for a cross to come in. That's all he can do. So I thought all round it was an excellent result for Real Madrid. Really good performance from Real Madrid. And I think it was a decent performance from Barcelona as well. So I don't think it's as bad as what people are making out, although it probably is, as you said, a predictable scoreline.
I've got a question from Darren, one of our Patreons. If you want to be a Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL, and you can support the podcast for a couple of quid a week, a month, a couple of quid a month. That's how cheap it is. Right. So Darren says, question. Regarding the Clásico, specifically Barca's midfield setup. In the last few weeks, we've seen Barca with a midfield three of Busquets, De Jong, and Gavi, and Spain with a midfield three of Busquets, Koke, and Gavi. If, in your opinion, De Jong is a better option than Koke, why the difference in efficiency and cohesiveness of the unit under Lucho's Spain is vastly superior to Koeman's Barca? De Jong was running around the pitch all game without having a sense of a defined role. And rather than doing something specifically well, he got lost in the shuffle. The lack of link-up play between the three today was quite striking, and the midfield never really gained a foothold of control. Yet another big game where Koeman has tactically failed again. Ricky Puig not even asked to warm up these days.
Yeah, which I think is a shame, to be honest. I mean, at the end, Koeman was chucking more attacking as many attacking players as he could onto the pitch, but Sergio Roberto came in ahead of Puig.
Yeah.
But I think, as I explained, that when Barcelona were at their best with Busquets, Xavi and Iniesta, you never saw Xavi and Iniesta playing in a wider midfield role. So there must be something there that Koeman is asking them to do, and he tries to spread the three across the pitch. Barcelona's strength has been in the past and should be those three players, whoever it is, they're currently the three playing in midfield, to play closer together so they can play those little, what they used to play, triangles. You know, the one and two touch, that's the stuff that used to go on between the three of them with Busquets deeper. But today we saw Gavi playing in a wide right position, and De Jong was wide on the left. So you're talking about 20 metres between De Jong and Busquets, and another 20 metres, maybe more, because Dest didn't push forward as much as we expected him to. If you know, look at the position he played, he was quite reserved in where he was pushing on. Jordi Alba did, of course, so he gets into the final third and does the overlapping stuff. But it almost looked like they were playing it as inside forwards, really, so with a 40-metre distance between the three of them, maybe more. They had Barcelona in the past. We never saw that from Xavi and Iniesta playing that far apart. The three of them always played close together. They went and won the ball back closely together and seized the ball back as quickly as they could. And when they got regained possession, they were always close to each other. So I think that's the difference there that we're talking about in how they're playing under Ronald Koeman.
So why would he be doing that? What's...
I don't know, and I'm slightly confused as to, to why suddenly we're seeing Sergiño Dest play
as a wide
attacker, as a forward. Yeah. I'm not saying he's horribly out of position, because he's got the attributes, he's quick, and he does decent crossing as he did for the goal. But he doesn't push on as much as I would imagine he should do from the right back position. So I'm not sure why Koeman's... And what happens then is when Real Madrid today, let's use them as an example, when they win the ball back, there's a lot more space in midfield to counter-attack, as opposed to the three of the Barcelona midfield players hunting in packs together. And when they lose the ball, they're always close to each other, so they could react as a group. Whereas now, if De Jong loses the ball, then there's a big space between him and Busquets. Likewise, if Gavi loses the ball, there's a big space between him and Busquets, which quality teams like Real Madrid will exploit.
Philip, who's one of our Patreons, who did the Patreon chats with us. There won't be a perfect time for Xavi. I don't think we should wait any longer. He's a Barcelona fan. The moment is here. He said himself he's ready, and we have a group of youngsters he can shape. We can't have this. We need a real leader more than ever, not Koeman. Now, obviously, previously, Terry, as regular listeners will know, that you've said that it's a matter of when, not if, with Ronald Koeman. Has this accelerated his demise or not?
I don't think it has, actually. No. I don't see this as being a crushing blow that Koeman can't recover from. I'm not for 1 minute saying that I think he should keep his job. I actually think the change should be made. And I think that their expectations for this season are relatively low now. So I think a new manager could come in and make the most of this season. They're not out of the title race, 5-point gap. And there's plenty of football to play. And as I said, I think there's brighter times ahead when, you know, some of the injured players come back again. Fatty did 70-odd minutes before he was replaced by Aguero, so he's getting back to full fitness. There was an issue with him and the Memphis as well. He was playing where they were both in the middle, if I'm being perfectly honest, which did leave the room for Jordi Alba on the left. So that needs to be resolved as well. But as I said, I think Aguero coming on looked sharp, scored the goal. So I think there's hope, but I genuinely believe it would be the right thing to do now would be to make a change for the long term, and I believe that person should be Xavi. But we don't know what's going on at the club. We don't know if they, you know, whether they can afford to sack Koeman. We don't know whether they can afford Xavi. So we don't know the half of the situation. But I genuinely do think it's not a matter of if they do it, but when. But do I think this is the final blow for Koeman? No, I don't think so, particularly with a midweek round of fixtures as well.
Yeah, because the games come thick and fast and they're straight in. Is it Rayo? Got Rayo this weekend? This midweek, haven't they? I think Barcelona,
yes.
If I remember right. Yes. Yeah. Which is a difficult game these days, isn't it? Because they've proved themselves to be a difficult team to play against. Right, I think, should we leave the Clásico there, Terry? I think that's enough said, isn't it? Unless you've got anything else to say about Real Madrid that we haven't said?
No, other than the fact that they were really solid. I think the first half, the narrative slightly flattered them, because they had three really good attacks, which two were offside and one was handball. For some reason, on the offsides, the referee continued, allowed the play until the attack finished. So I think Ancelotti would like a little bit more in terms of counter-attacking play, because they have the players to do it. And as I said, you know, to bring on Fede Valverde, he shows the strength of their squad. Asensio was a key part of why they won the game when he came on. They didn't have to put Hazard on. Carvajal coming back from injury. So I think there's a settling down period now. We'll see a better back four from Real Madrid. They will be more solid. And I have no doubt they've got the attacking talent in the team with those midfield three and Valverde to go, you know, toe-to-toe with whoever's at the top of the league and in the Champions League now.
Right, so when I have a look at the rest of the games, there is, of all the teams that have played so far, got one game to go, only one team has failed to score this weekend, which is unusual, isn't it? Because, you know, there have been many weekends when that has not been the case. But we'll get to that, because first of all...
Quite a funny story on the team that didn't score, isn't it? They had 61% possession.
Yes.
Yeah. Didn't have a bloody clue what to do with the ball. Cadiz, we're talking about.
Yes, we'll get to them. We'll get to them later, right? Yeah. Because now we need to go to the top of the league. And for a good chunk of this game, it looked like Real Sociedad were extending their lead at the top, but they got pegged back. So, I mean, terrific fun, wasn't it, at the Wonder Metropolitana? Real Sociedad were two up, but Atletico got it back to 2-2. They're good when they go 2-0 down, Atletico, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's a given. I think, you know, obviously they're conceding too many goals. Oblak is having a bit of a stinker at the moment, if I'm being honest. Both goals were, I think you could put down to him. The first one, he went down like me and I'm 58. It looked like someone bending down and had a bad back and sore knees. That's what I'm referring to when it went, it's like me going to ground. And the second one, that's his side of the wall, isn't it? And that fatal step that so many goalkeepers do, where they take a step to the right and the ball's, they forget about the side they're guarding. It wasn't the greatest of shots either. It bounced in front of him, didn't it? So quite alarming when you see the amount of mistakes he's made this year. So a little bit of a crisis of confidence. And Atletico are conceding too many. Three against Liverpool, two again today. They're almost conceding a goal a game, which by most club standards, is team standards, is pretty good going. But by Atletico, it's not. So they need to improve defensively. And that would probably come with a little bit more cohesion with knowing who's playing at the back and how many are playing at the back. But they will always show that spirit, determination. The crowd still get behind them when they're going through a tough period as well. They have faith in the team. They have faith in Simeone. And once Suarez got the first goal, it pretty much was a given that they were going to pull the pressure on until they got the equaliser. Then they didn't play so well. 2-2. I think because they put so many attacking players on, there was no real shape to the team. They couldn't get hold of the ball, couldn't keep possession, and Real Sociedad reacted really well. Because trust me, you know, I imagine going 15 minutes to go when you're 2-0 up, and then suddenly 15 minutes to go, it's back to 2-2, and Atletico trying to pile on the pressure. It's not easy for a young team that's currently top of the league, missing loads of injured players. Players went off injured in this game. They were terrific, Real Sociedad. So they rode out that storm at the end to take at least the point they deserved. But they made life really difficult for Atletico. And it was a big old struggle. And a team that are worthy of being top of the league at the moment, Real Sociedad.
And you've told me in recent weeks, Terry, that they're not genuine contenders to win the league, but they are genuine contenders for the Champions League. So would this confirm that?
Yep, I think so. I think when you look at the run since the opening day of the season when they lost to Barcelona, since then they've gone a great run, and the performance tonight. And one, you know, they're missing so many players. So, you know, when they do get a full complement of players back, they're competing well in the Europa League as well. So it's putting a strain on the squad, which is taking its toll in terms of the physical attributes, because players are missing, players are getting injured. But no, I think when they're all fully fit, when I say they're all fully fit, I'm sure, you know, like I said, with Barcelona, someone else would get injured. But key players are missing for Real Sociedad. So brilliant performance from them. Great result for them. Could have been more. But I think they would have probably have taken a point before the game started. But their belief will strengthen with these performances away from home against the current champions.
I think Suarez said after the game that they're now João Félix, Griezmann and he are beginning to work together better. Is that right? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think so. Yep, I do. I think Griezmann's playing better now. I would love to see more of an end product from João Félix, because he's a player who's a delight to watch. I mean, he does so many good things and then mixes it up with sloppy mistakes. You know, long passes, crosses into the box. Sometimes he gets caught in possession. And then other times he's a breathtaking footballer with his touch and his skill and the way he evades opponents. So he's still a young player, but he cost a fortune. And ultimately, you need more of an end product. He did clip the ball in for Suarez to score the header. But I find him slightly frustrating at the moment because I want to see the full package from João Félix, because at times he looked brilliant. He just needs to tidy up his game. He needs to, probably a little bit more in terms of confidence. But I agree with Suarez there. I think they are looking more settled with those two playing in and around and just off of Luis Suarez. Probably suits Suarez as well to have two players in and around close to him. They're more mobile, more dynamic, and it does leave him the sole job and the most important job of sticking the ball in the back of the net. And he's doing that again this season. You know, I've been critical of how he is physically. But I believe it's 6-9 in all comp, 6-9 in La Liga, 7 in all competitions. He's going to end up with 15, 20 goals again in La Liga. So he does the job he's asked to do. At times, it's not a pretty sight when he tries to knock it past the player and bundle his way past, and he hasn't got that sharpness that he used to have. But stick him in front of goal, give him half a chance, and he'll take it.
Only Benzema has scored more goals in La Liga this season. He's joint second with the Athabal. Pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. But Terry.
Six in eight games. Yeah. 8 games, 6 goals. That's prolific.
But Sevilla, goal-hungry, goal-fest at Sevilla with a couple of absolute belters in this game. Yeah. Extraordinary.
By the goals that were good, and all five are not far off getting a tick. But the first one, goal of the season contender. Yeah. What a gorgeous goal that is.
Oliver Torres, wasn't it? A volley I don't know if it was deliberately over hit, but it was going sort of almost out of the penalty area, and he volleys it back. Yep. Wasn't it? Incredible. And Levante played their part as well, didn't it? It's just, this is not, we haven't seen this coming with Sevilla, have we?
No.
A game like this.
Well, it's interesting that Lopetegui takes the brakes off. Hmm. So they have to score more goals. They have to be more creative. So the brakes were taken off. Surprising team selection, if you look at it. There's players missing you thought would normally be playing. So he's rotating it, trying to keep it fresh because it's a fantastic squad. But Levante scored as many goals today as all the other teams have scored against Sevilla so far this season. So hence the reason I'm saying Lopetegui took the brakes off, he'd be putting them firmly back on in the next game, knowing that they conceded 3. It was a defensive record he should be proud of, 3 goals conceded so far, but the goals conceded against Levante, Dimitrovic made a real mess up of one of them. But Morelli scored a terrific goal as well. His goal was great. I'm trying to think of a goal in that game that wasn't a fantastic goal. Malero's was good, you know. Rafa Mir took his well. Munir's was a long-range effort as well. So that was classic Spanish football, watching that this morning, that the weather looked perfect. It looked hot. People have got T-shirts on. It's a colourful stadium and it needs goals. And the supporters were all back in the stadium as well. So that was a pleasure to watch that game between Sevilla and Levante.
And there were 13 goals in the 2 games in the city of Seville today because Betis beat Rayo Vallecano 3-2, which is another belter, wasn't it? Because there were two up, got back to 2-2, and then they won it with a penalty 75 minutes in, I think it is. So it's, absolute belter again.
Yep, no, and Betis going 2-0. Alex Moreno with another great goal as well. It was another goal that I've got tick against and won me with another fantastic goal. Rayo, I looked at their team, they'd left a few out. I wondered if he was resting a few for the game against Barcelona, as we see often in La Liga when the teams are not involved in European football, when they have a midweek round the fixtures, some managers do panic and start, you know, playing at being a Champions League manager and rotating the team. So I thought it was a given then that 2-0 up early in the game that Betis were going to run away with that match. But I underestimated the spirit and I shouldn't have done of Rayo. Teca was gifted a goal, quite extraordinary goal actually. I don't know what he was doing. Alex Moreno scored the first goal against his former team, did a pass back, and Teca was practically standing next to the goalkeeper. So I had no idea what he was doing there, and he couldn't believe his luck. Gets the ball, turns, and it was Trejo who was standing by the goalkeeper. He lays it off to Teca, who scores the goal. And Alvaro Garcia gets one to make it 2-2. So Rayo were unlucky in the end to get beaten by a penalty was a penalty. But no, Betis continued to go in the right direction and move swiftly up to a decent, more than decent position in the league now. In fifth place at the moment, currently Real Betis.
Yeah, let's share the league table, shall we, with our Patreons who can watch this, because the Patreons get to watch it on their computers. But we'll have to verbalise it, obviously, for everybody who's just getting the audio version. So Real Sociedad at top, played 10, 21 points. Real Madrid, second, they played 9 with 20. Sevilla played 9, 20 points. Goal difference of plus 10 now. And Atleti then played 9, 18 points. Significant scoreline, that one, wasn't it? Because otherwise, you know, there'd be a big gap there. And then Betis and Osasuna both have 18 points. Rayo Vallecano have 16. And then Athletic Club of Bilbao have 16 points from 9 games. And Barcelona are in 9th place in La Liga with 15 points, which is not particularly healthy, although with mitigating circumstances, obviously, and, you know, some signs of encouragement, according to Terry today. So let's crack on with the rest. Athletic 2, Villarreal 1. Another exciting one, and a missed penalty at the end. But yeah, Athletic, there's two teams that have drawn too many games, and Villarreal, Terry, they're a weird team, aren't they? You know, they do well in Europe in the week. It looks like they've got a breakthrough, and then they lose a game, and then you look at it, was the 13th in the league now.
Just 11 points from 9 games, which is rather, should be a worry for Unai Emery. We talk about drawing too many games, but this was a solid defeat from a really good performance from Athletic Club. Again, clubs are being rejuvenated, teams are, players are, with the full attendances now, aren't they? And it's Sunday San Mamés, which is such an atmospheric stadium. Sunday, that's more full, near capacity, supporters are back in the ground, and that was a super performance from Athletic Club. It's been a long time since they played, I think 3 weeks since they had a game as well. Not too many players are on international duty, so a mini pre-season, I would imagine, has taken part by Marcelino with his players to make sure they were ready for this game against the team that played midweek in the Champions League. And they just looked that little bit sharper, boosted on by the home support. But it's a worry. And I think Gerard Moreno came off injured again in this match as well. And I think Coquelin came off injured as well. So, you know, you look at some squads and you think they're big enough to cope, but it's when key players are missing, get injured. Oyarzabal was missing for Real Sociedad against Atletico. And if Moreno's missing for a period of time, that will hurt Villarreal. Surprised that Alcácer didn't come on, though, to replace him. And they went with no recognised out-and-out centre-forward, which to me showed a little bit of a sign that maybe, you know, Unai Emery was possibly going to be happy with another draw and a point. But when you see them so low in the table with so few points, it's something they have to focus on now and improving their performance in the Liga.
Chimi Abella scored, Terry, back starting again for Osasuna, who we shouldn't discount, you know, because when we, you know, when you look at that table there, they are sixth place. So we probably should have talked about them earlier, but we didn't. But anyway, Chimi Abella, so obviously regular listeners will know he's had the two serious cruciate knee ligament injuries. He's been out a long time waiting for a goal. And then he was been a sub, and then he was back in the team and he scored from his starting position. For the first time in this game, which was terrific to see. And then they got pegged back with a stunning goal at the
stunning
end. I was just wondering whether to blame the goalkeeper or not. But,
element of surprise, long-range effort, isn't it, where the goalkeeper's off his line. And Montero, it's the attempt from long range. No, good goal. Really good goal. Goalkeepers don't normally anticipate they're going to be lobbed, chipped, the ball driven over the head from such a long distance. So I'm delighted for Chimi as well. People aren't aware, he actually didn't play between the two injuries, did he? No. So he did his cruciate, but the first one. And in the rehab, as he was the later stages of his rehab in training, the other knee went. So to have that, when his career was at a real high, you know, he was great to watch. Pretty much every goal he scored was spectacular. So for him to score back-to-back games now, it's been a bit of a struggle for him this season because they've only tended to play the one up front, and that's Kike Garcia. So Chimi getting the goal the week before, then gets this one. Against Villarreal, his goal the week before, wasn't it? And then get this one. Delighted for him. Pleased to see him back. pleased to see him scoring and goals again, and delighted for Osasuna. I mean, it was a good atmosphere in their stadium. Supporters weren't too dejected that they conceded a relatively late goal. And they were, you know, they're having fun this season. Good team, well coached, work hard, great attitude, good football club at the moment.
Right. I can't believe this game is coming as late as it is, given that how good a game it is. But let's have a look at Valencia 2, Mallorca 2. Chris Mills, one of our patrons, was there. Really good game in the end. It says Mallorca seemed to be playing for a point from the first whistle. I think their physio team were on the pitch more than Kang In Lee. Valencia really struggled to break them down. Just tried to get it out wide, get as many crosses as possible. Also, Mestalla is incredible. But it was a dramatic conclusion, wasn't it? Because they were... The remaining 10 men of Mallorca were still leading in the 92nd minute of the game, and it ended up 2-2 because Guedes and then Gaia scored the 93rd and the 98th minutes.
Yeah, they were still leading 2-0 up, weren't they, in the 92nd minute to the equaliser. So it was Kang In Lee's sending off didn't help the issue, did it? Mallorca, I agree, they were quite reserved, quite disciplined defensively, weren't over ambitious, but were helped by Angel scoring a goal after good work from Kang In Lee, and then an own goal from Mukhtar Diakabi. And it kind of knocked the stuffing out of Valencia. They've gone six games without a win now. And they've suffered because, I mean, they started the season off really well, which was a slight surprise. Then they had a run of hard games where they kind of played well, but didn't get anything from. Real Madrid, Sevilla, Athletic Bilbao. It's been the games against Cadiz. I think they drew against Cadiz. They lost to Barcelona. And now drawing with Mallorca. But that will almost feel like a win, won't it? It's remarkable to score those two goals so late in the game. So a crushing blow for Mallorca. You know, the points are precious. And to be in a winning position that late on and not get the win will be a big blow for Luis Garcia Plaza. Kang In Lee's an interesting player. Shows talent. He's got 3 red cards and 4 goals in his career so far. And I don't know if I'd put him down as a dirty player, but some of his tackles where he's been sent off, this was a ridiculous second yellow card, poor tackle. There's been other challenges in the past where you're thinking, what on earth is he doing? So he does seem to have a little bit of a temper, which he's going to have to calm down because the obvious talent is there, fired up against his old club. But he's sending off played a big part in the reason why they didn't manage to get all 3 points.
Two more games to discuss, one of whom, so Cadiz, Terry, then. So 62% possession. How on earth has this happened? How then?
I can't work it out. Alaves must have just sat behind the ball and gone, you have it. They must have said, no, you have it.
Yeah, kick it away whenever it comes, like a tennis match. No, you have it, yeah.
What didn't help, but it helped Alaves, which didn't help Cadiz, is that 5 minutes into the game, Hosolu scores a goal. So then, therefore, then Alaves are fighting for their lives, showing signs of improvement, so they can dig in, they can sit, they can leave Hosolu up front on his own, they can, you know, try and hit him, he'll hold the ball up. They scored the second in the 90th minute. There was not a lot of action in terms of attacking play from Alaves. And I've been waiting for this, actually. I've been waiting for a team to do this to Cadiz and say, no, you have it. And you know, because there we saw, I mean, in fairness, Cadiz did have the moments. Negredo had a decent overhead kick and just went over the bar. But they found it tough to break down a team who was doing to them what they've done to most other teams since they've been in La Liga. So it was an interesting game. It wasn't a cracker, don't get me wrong. But it was interesting seeing a team that don't normally have possession playing against a team that didn't want it either. Hopefully we don't see too many games and teams playing like that. So something that Alvaro Cervera is going to have to come to terms with. There might be other teams that do that against Cadiz now. Pay them more respect and keep things nice and solid, nice and disciplined, and don't open up the game and leave yourself open to the break from Cadiz.
And there wasn't a bad game this weekend so far, because Elche 2, Espanyol 2 is the only missing game that we've got so far. I've gone back to not knowing where Espanyol are in the table. Throughout my life of following La Liga, they're 11th is the answer. I've never known where Espanyol are in the table until they went down season
bottom,
or last.
Yeah.
When they finally... Is that all right, okay, they're actually rubbish this season. But
yeah. Normally, I think they've got more points this year already than that season they got relegated.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's the case. They've only got 13 points now. Surely they've got more than that. I'll check it. But I did hear that someone said they got more points, accumulated more points than when they got relegated. I thought,
we'll look this up. Got more than we'll
13 points. But this was a really good game. Good goal from Lucas Boye. Another goal. I've got so many. Normally I tick, put a tick by a few goals. There's loads of ticks by goals this week. And that was a really good goal. One possession back. Was aggressive. Turned. Got a great shot off. Fantastic goal. Manny Milanes looks a good player. He's unknown from Villarreal. He scored. A minute later, Raulta Thomas puts them up. So 51 minutes. So a big turnaround in that game. And then Benedetto got the quite a fortunate chance at the end. But he took it well. Clearance rebounded off an Espanyol defender back into his path. He was offside, but of course, because it rebounds back off the Espanyol defender, he's not offside, and he slots it on to get Elche a deserved point. I think that was a really good game. Both teams deserve something from that match. So it's Espanyol after a tough start. Raulta Thomas got 5 goals now. He's the main instigator of goals for Espanyol, and he's in form, and which has led to Espanyol climbing the table.
They got 25 points the year they went down. So, you had a bum
seat. So someone was sending fibs.
Yes. but they lost 8 games in a row at the end of the season. They got 1 point from their last 9 games, which is relegation form, I think it's fair to say, isn't it?
I think Levante had a similar run, 18 games without a win now. Combined over the last 2 games in the last season and this season, I think it's 1-1 in 18, something like that. But they were better. So when you do get in that runner form, it's hard to dig yourself out. But it's good to see Espanyol moving up the table. Young players, vibrant team. Raulta Thomas back in top form again.
So for people who might have just rejoined us for the Clásico, how are we summing up La Liga at the moment, Terry? It's competitive at the top and the bottom, which is a healthy sign. There are long-term plans to stabilise the finances, which you and I both think is, in the long term, is going to be a good thing. Probably fair to say that the top teams are probably a long way off their best of, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I think that the unique selling point, though, is the young players that are getting opportunities. All the clubs, not just the obvious ones at Barcelona, but we can talk Barcelona, Real Madrid, we talk about good João Félix at Atletico, and you go through the likes of Real Sociedad, who currently sits top of the league, an array of fantastic young players. So I think that's the selling point for La Liga. I think it's in decent shape. All leagues have their periods of domination. I grew up when it was the first division with Liverpool, Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest winning everything in Europe for a few years. Then, the Italian teams, AC Milan in particular, I can remember periods where Ajax were dominant, Bayern Munich were dominant as growing up as a youngster. And I think, sometimes leagues have to rejig. The power sways to another league for a period of time. But I think long-term, when I look at the league and now I look at the selling point is the young players that are being given opportunities that are excelling, which has led to the Spain team following suit as well. So I think there's a lot to look forward to. And it kind of fits with the trend of football that, one league doesn't dominate. We've had Real Madrid and Barcelona had a collection of commentating on Clásicos between those two giants as they were. And you probably had 15 of the top 20 players currently in European football at that time. So it was due a change. Messi off, Ronaldo off. But no, I actually think that the league's in good shape. And I love the fact that it's competitive. And if you're not at your best, you can slip up against anyone. There was, in the past, we have had games where it's been done and dusted by half an hour on a regular basis. And me and you have sat there talking about practically doing a podcast for the rest of the match. In the days before we did a podcast, I can remember Real Madrid being 5-0 up at half time, Barcelona being 5-0 up at half time. That doesn't seem to happen as much now, thankfully. I think it's in decent shape, room for improvement. But I think it's in decent shape still.
Right. And you don't have to wait long for the next bit of it to arrive because there's a game Monday night. So We will be back. We'll be back later in the week because there's a whole midweek round to come as well. So there's a whole new round Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of games. So we will be back. If you want to join the Patreons, feel free. It'd be nice to have you along. So patreon.com/LTEL. Thank you to everybody who is a Patreon. Thank you to everybody who's listening. And enjoy your La Liga this week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.